Time now first for Redlow County Commissioner's Recap. Mr. Earl McNutt, it's been like a month since we saw you last, hasn't it?
I was going to say, Rich, it's been 3 weeks since our last meeting there, so I don't know if I'm really going to be able to do this or not now. This is like learning all over here.
Kind of like you want to go on a vacation, I come in and run the board. It's like, oh, do I remember how to, which button does what?
Yeah.
You will do just fine. But it's been a couple of weeks, yeah, because you took the one around Labor Day off and then didn't have a meeting last, or because of Labor Day, but it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and last week we did have a very short meeting, and it actually wasn't a Board of Commissioners meeting, but on September 7th we did hold our special meeting just for comments in regards to a public hearing for the adoption of the budget there. But at that meeting there was nobody present there, so it's pretty short and quick one there. So
the budget is done deal and ready to send?
After yesterday, we wrapped it all up, and it's going to be good to go there. It's was a fairly smooth year here this year, so to speak, there. So that was a good sign there, and I think everything's looking up and up.
That doesn't happen all the time, does it?
No, it most definitely doesn't. I can attest to that.
As I say, in all your years of being a county commissioner, can you count on one hand how many times it's went this smoothly?
Yeah, it's probably not even much of that one hand there. So
maybe two, maybe three.
Yeah,
at best.
Yeah.
We'll get to that here shortly. We'll start first yesterday's agenda. Is anything on citizens' comments?
We did have a lady present for citizens' comments, Mary Sutton. She's with the Nebraska Speaks Out group. She come in yesterday and just really went over several things there. I know, you know, once again, here we are. We're listening to all these different mandates that are being thrown out there by the federal government. And this group is certainly very well aware of that, so they're bringing attention to everybody, you know, on the mask mandates. You know, they feel that they should just flat out be banned, you know, and not required in schools or anywhere else. Same with the COVID vaccine mandates that are being discussed. Who knows the rights or wrongs here, but certainly nobody wants to be told what you have to do there. We like to have our own freedom and thought process there, and that's what this is all about. She'd had actually a two-page letter here of comments there, and I'll just quickly go over a couple of them. And a reference to the American Medical Association Code of Ethics, also Nebraska Code 28-109, all related to different health issues and concerns of how things are being handled. And the bottom line is, through the whole conversation here with Mary, is she just wants Red Willow County to help uphold the constitutional rights of the citizens, the people they swore to protect, regardless of any of the objection from consulted parties there. So, you know, we'd had more discussion with Mary as far as mandates and what the authority of the Red Willow County Board is. You know, we really have no authority over school boards, city councils, pretty borderline even on businesses, you know. So for us to actually go out and just absolutely vote on a resolution to ban these issues would be probably pretty tough. I mean, it would not have a lot of authority behind it there. It'd just basically be a support issue there. So a lot of concerns, and certainly appreciate her coming in and taking time to speak to the board and go over those issues that are taking place that no doubt we're all well aware of.
Review accounts payable claims, as always.
And second Monday of the month there, this is when we pay the bulk of the claims, so there was definitely a large amount of claims to review and needed that time to look at them.
Treasurer Crystal Dack on tax roll corrections.
Yes, the first actual agenda item was a Board of Equalization matter, so turn the meeting over to Kayla Richards. Crystal Dack, Red Willow County Treasurer, was in. She had two tax roll corrections for tax year 2020. One was a change due to a Turk case there. That was a reduction of $1,176.34. The second correction was a case where a trailer house was torn down, so those taxes had to be accelerated out and removed, and that was $212.18. So we did certainly approve both of those tax roll corrections, number 14 and 15, so that she can clear up her books and make them all accurate.
After that, Board of Commissioners meeting reconvened after that, and you had to visit Mr. Kyle Potthoff, City of McCook, on ball field leasing.
Yes, and I'm sure most of the community is aware of what transpired 3 weeks ago at our previous meeting. We had a lease agreement with the City of McCook, Red Willow County Fair Board, and Red Willow County on the ball field leases, also known as the JC Sports Complex, up here on West 10th Street. Certainly, this was a topic in which at that time the board, our county board, voted 2-1 not to sign that lease because they wanted more clarifications. Yesterday, Kyle Potthoff, along with city manager Nate Snyder, was in and spoke to us about this situation there. And ironically, it kind of all worked out because last Wednesday night I had actually attended a Red Willow County Fair Board meeting, which I am the county board representative to that group there. And they discussed that, and they made it very, very clear. They in no way, shape, or form want to be responsible for running the ball fields there. So, therefore, they were definitely still in support of carrying on this lease with the City of McCook. It's a lease agreement that was drawn up clear back in 1972. When this all began, and it was for a dollar a year. Now, you know, we all look at what a dollar buys us nowadays there, which is not a whole lot there, and certainly, you know, is that a fair amount for a lease agreement. But when we spoke with Kyle and Nate, you know, it's very clearly drawn out in this entire agreement that the City of McCook is responsible for all updates, improvements, and maintenance of those ball fields. It's at their own expense. The county does not put anything in other than just letting them use our land there. So some very good points were made. Certainly went over the amounts that are spent each and every year. You know, I've seen some of those numbers. Most of them are running from $150,000 a year up that the City of McCook is investing in these ball fields each and every year. They do not charge anybody to use them. So, you know, overall, you look at the big picture of it, is definitely a very good community service, and it's a very good a spot for our kids and adults also to enjoy in those types of sporting activities there. So it's a much needed facility to have in place there. The Fair Board did have a couple concerns though, and those are both drawn out clearly in the lease. One is in which they should hold no activities during the county fair. Well, you know, a few years ago, and this was just a scheduling issue, I know there was a case where there were some tournaments played during the county fair, and obviously that tends to draw people away from our functions there. And then also there's concerns over how bad the parking lot itself has deteriorated and needs some work there. So some things to address, but certainly a lot of good discussion. Overall, you know, the whole discussion went very well, and in the end we did vote to approve this lease. It'll run through 2042 with the new lease agreement there, and it'll remain at that dollar a year. And as Nate Snyder said, with these agreements there, you have to have some kind of dollar amount attached just to make it legal and binding, and that's why the dollar was derived at years ago and certainly has not changed. So everything's good to go. Very good discussion, and I hope in the future that, you know, all of our discussions between the county and city will continue to be very positive and productive, and try to keep everything, all of our communication lines open.
Next up, Fair Manager Giles Bowman on hand, a request of a loan to cover for the 2021 fair. explain. I'll let you do the explain this one.
This is kind of a difficult one to understand, but obviously it all relates to the fact that we needed to adopt a resolution. It'd be 1440 to allow a short-term loan from our general fund to the Fair Fund. Fair Fund expenses, when they come in, they all roll in all at one time. There is always a shortfall in the transition of money being deposited and paid out. So because of that, this year there was a little larger amount than there has been in past years. Giles was asking for $92,000 to cover a short-term period of time to make up for these expenses at the fair. I know two or three years ago we had a case where we were right at $70,000, so it's not uncommon, but certainly one of those cases where, you know, throughout the year, and I told Giles, I said, you really need to be conscientious of making sure you're spending really on very needed items, because the fair definitely drains your budget at the end of the year and certainly makes it difficult to start out. But sir, not one of these uncommon situations. The fair, Giles expects this to be paid back over a 2 to 3 month period. I know yesterday he said he had a lot of money coming back in already there, so it should be very short term and paid back before the end of the year. But certainly in the resolution, it states that it needs to be absolutely paid back by the end of the fiscal year, which would be June 30th of 2022. So one of those catchy deals, and it's really just a transition of how the money flows. And you know, like I told Giles at the board meeting the other night, I said, you know, there's really only three major tax collection periods for the county throughout the year, and that's September 1st, January 1, and May 1st there. And you kind of got to time things accordingly and make sure that the money's going to be there to be able to afford the things you need there, so bottom line. So it is kind of a catch-21, but certainly we did approve that, so he's good to go.
Next up, decision to increase base of restricted funds by an additional 1%.
And this whole next 30 minutes of the agenda was totally based on the final adoption of the 2021-2022 budget. The first one, as you said, is decision to increase base of the restricted funds by an additional 1%. By law, we're set at a rate of growth of 2.5%. We can every year ask to add an additional 1% if necessary, and we certainly do that each and every year. I know there is some legislation being discussed, and it's obviously going to come back to the board next year here to reduce that total to 3% instead of the 3.5%, so we'll wait and see how that progresses. But we did approve to add that 1% to the restricted funds authority there. Moving on, then our first resolution, 1434, was in regards to adopting the official 2021-22 budget as presented. As I stated last Tuesday, after Labor Day, September 7th, we did have a budget hearing. In the end, we did approve the budget itself there, and just some real quick highlights there. You know, our property tax request was up 2%, but our valuation was also up 2%, so that was a wash. So our tax rate for this coming year is 0.330218 compared to 0.331457 a year ago. So down about a tenth of a cent there. So not a big change, but it's always a positive when you can say that you reduced the levy instead of raised it there. The next resolution is 1435. This was setting the final tax request at an amount which was different from the prior year, and this Dan Miller pointed out yesterday, just showed that our operating budget was up by 0.76% for an increase there. Resolution number 1436 then was a transfer designating 2021 levy taxes from general fund to the road fund. The road and bridge fund gets a huge amount of highway allocation taxes there. These are your gas taxes that are paid. There's a lot of different things that go into formula as far as how that's calculated as to what each county and city gets. But we're required to match that amount that we receive by 25%. So this year that amount is $311,425. So that is the amount that will have to be transferred from the general fund to the road and bridge fund to offset that 25% match on the highway allocation funds there. Resolution number 1437, this is to authorize another transfer. This one's from the general fund to the self-insurance fund, and that amount is $790,000 there to go into the self-insurance fund, which obviously provides the health insurance for all of our employees. The next one, we're moving on. Resolution number 1438 is the final one, and it is to transfer $300,000 from the Inheritance Fund 2700 to the General Fund 0100, and this is only on an as-needed basis, and this is really how we offset our increase in our budget from last year to this year, is by transferring those dollars. And certainly, I've always said to any of our senators, you know, that inheritance fund is very key to counties, and it's a lifesaver to us there. So it's very important that you show that you're spending some of that money each and every year to offset your increases, just to basically appease them and make them feel like you really are trying to utilize that money in a well-needed manner, instead of just stockpiling it for whatever reason may lie out there in the future there. So a lot of budget stuff, but in the end, like I said, our levy next year will be 0.330218. It's just slightly down. And I just felt like this year everything fell together very well. There's a lot of things that we needed to address and change. I know we're having a major, major problem trying to hire law enforcement, jailers. We made some major adjustments to all those salaries. We really projected out any of our needs going forward. And the next challenge will be trying to make sure that we spend the ARPA funds that we've received, which is the American Rescue Plan Act that the federal government put out. I know we got $41,000 that we received back in May, and certainly there's a lot of stipulations that go along with how you're required to spend that, but that is included in this budget. And certainly, you know, anything health related with COVID obviously is a guaranteed expense, but there are some items we're learning as we go that we can possibly utilize some of this money and get some much needed projects taken care of too, when it refers to water and possibly box culverts and those types of things. So kind of excited to see how that plays out, and certainly there's no rush on that money. We got, I believe, until 2024 to even have a final plan in place. So a few years down the road here, but certainly we're going to be looking at this soon anyway.
Had a couple of things of correspondence too.
We did, actually, and you kind of jumped over this. This is one of those rare cases where we had a two-page agenda.
Sorry about that.
Well, you caught me just rambling on here about stuff anyway, but consent agenda, obviously.
I did skip over that.
Several items here, yeah.
How could I do that?
That's all right, Rich. That's... You've just been a busy man here, so... The approving minutes, obviously that's something we take care of every week. We had related early on about approving accounts payable claims. This was a large amount, $431,571.21. Of that, though, just the high notes there, we did have to have Hillcrest bonds that we paid. They were come around always at this time of year. That was $131,677. We had armor coating. Some of it's not all in, but we had about $65,000 in there. And then, of course, the assessor has her commercial valuations taking place, so she had about $20,000 there. So that definitely put that number way up there. The third item was the chairman's signature on resolution number 1433, adopting Quad County's multi-jurisdictional hazardous mitigation plan. We've been in this plan for a few years now, and it's with Franklin, Furnas, Harlan, and of course Red Willow counties. The next item, Great Plains Communications continues to install a lot of new fiber optics in our county. They had two different projects, really several, but to narrow it down to two, west of McCook on Road 717, they got 1 mile that they're going to be installing some new fiber. And then they got about 20 miles that they've put in application for south and also southwest of Indianola. So pretty good large area out in that part of the county. Item number five, chairman's signature on a designated liquor license for Loop Brewing. This is a wedding reception that's going to be held on 10-1 of 21, and it's going to be held at the Riverside Rink down on Ravenswood Road. They estimate about 225 people, and it's going to be sponsored by the Copper Mill Restaurant. The sixth item was requesting a .gov domain. The Secretary of State has come out and requested that all counties go from a .org to a .gov because for election security purposes there will be obviously a fee that goes along with that, but there's certainly several offices throughout the county that are going to move forward with this, and I believe that grand total right now is just under $5,000 to make this switch there, so that's an expense that will be coming up, but certainly going to do that just for security purposes. And then item seven, we had different pledged securities, 826 of 21 and 831 of 21 by the county treasurer, just showing where the money's invested. The eighth item, we closed out the K-9 fund. We no longer have a K-9 animal, so there was $3,785.44 in that fund that needed to be transferred to the general fund. That was resolution number 1439. And the ninth and final item was one that we pulled on the consent. Just needed a little changes in the language there. Otherwise, no problems there. It's an interlocal agreement with Furnas County for veteran service officer. We will be changing this agreement where it's a three-year agreement instead of a one-year, but there's just was one little glitch in the payment amount just to clear it up. So we tabled that for a week just so we can get complete verification. Then as you started in, we had some correspondence item. Gans Family Farms, they continue to update us on the National Heritage Areas partnership there. Right now between Kansas and Nebraska, there's 43 of the 49 counties that have signed resolutions in a opposition of this, and certainly that number continues to grow. Second item, child support enforcement, just incentive award of $11,812 for fiscal year 2018-2019. And then just a notice from City of McCook for public hearing, which I know their planning commission had a hearing on this last night, and then it goes before the council next Monday on the 20th, and this is in regards to the HCC subdivision up here just north of Q Street. And then finally wrapping it up, some reports. We had Sheriff's Monthly Revenue Report. That's his paper service for the month. a couple bridge inspections that Miller and Associates had done, gave us those reports. One was actually a brand new box culvert that was put in 3 or 4 years ago down east of Lebanon, and then another bridge, a fairly newer bridge, southwest of McCook here. And then wrapping it up, the district court clerk's monthly revenue report. So, yeah, it's a little bit windy there, Rich.
it always happens. You don't have a meeting for a couple of weeks, and boy, that first one back, bam, it's all loaded on that one, isn't it?
And then when I hear Mr. Norgard in the house, it's like, holy cow, you kept me for a long time this morning here.
I didn't keep you here. You was your own fault.
Okay.
A lot of stuff going on, but the budget's in the books.
It's in the books. We're good to go, and certainly glad that we were able to have a very slight reduction in the levy, but certainly a reduction is always better than adding to it there. So, yeah, it was a very smooth budget process, one of the very, very few that I've seen in 23 years, and probably be a while before we see another
like this.
Probably
so. Next meeting coming up next Monday on the 20th.
Absolutely.